Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is God's Priceless Treasure, based on a gospel reading just after the verses for today. Today's gospel reading ended in verse 43. Let me read to you verse 44. These are all verses about parables of the kingdom. Verse 44 reads, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a precious treasure hidden in a field." One of the joys of being a pastor, one of the many joys of being a pastor, but one particular one, is working with young couples who are preparing to get married. I give each couple 4 2-hour sessions as we prepare, not just for the wedding day, but for their marriage in the years to come. But my favorite meeting is the very first meeting, when the bride-to-be comes in and says, look at my engagement ring. And over the years I've learned there are 4 facets or 4 ways to judge a diamond. Cut, clarity, carat, and color, all 4 C's. It's important to inspect the treasure from all of these facets. And today we're going to inspect God's priceless treasure from these 3 facets. It's before you in your sermon outline. Open your bulletin if you haven't and pull out your blue insert and find there our insert as we discover the facets of God's treasure. First of all, the facets are God's treasure is a hidden treasure. God's treasure is a priceless treasure, and best of all, God's treasure is a searching treasure. First of all, the hidden treasure. The hidden treasure is Christ Jesus himself. Listen to verse 44. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field." Jesus is the priceless heavenly treasure. Jesus is the only lasting treasure. Jesus is the only eternal treasure. Jesus is the only treasure you can absolutely count on. All of the other treasures of this life are here today and gone tomorrow. Now, there's a dire need for this priceless hidden treasure named Jesus. Listen to Matthew 6. These are words of Jesus. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in to steal." And here's the key passage. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What does that mean? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. Well, in helping us understand this, in the first commandment, Martin Luther was explaining, what does it mean to have a God? Because commandment number 1, as you know, is, "You shall have no other gods before me," says the Lord. Luther says, what is a God? He said, a God is what you look to give you your highest good. A God is what you lean and depend upon to give you meaning and purpose in life. That is to say, your treasures really can become your God. Now pause for a moment and ask yourself, what are you really looking to for your highest good? What are you really depending on to give your life meaning and purpose? That is, what is your God? Sad to say, it can be a God with a small g, not a large g. Anything less than Jesus, and you'll be let down. Earthly treasures are to be enjoyed, but you can't depend upon them to be your God. They are literally here today and gone tomorrow. Is your health and your wealth your God? Here today and gone tomorrow. Are your relationships your God? Here today and gone tomorrow. Are your aspirations and your dreams and your goals for success your gods? They can change very quickly. Only Jesus is the lasting treasure. Jesus is the treasure. And he offers to you God's riches. And what are God's riches? The forgiveness of your sins and the gift of heaven when you die. What treasure could be more valuable? What treasure could you more want to pass on to your children than the treasure of sin forgiven and the gift of heaven with God forever? The text says, though, the treasure is hidden. It's hidden in the field. Listen to the verse again. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. The field is our world. And the treasure is here, but it has to be found by us. The treasure of Jesus, by the way, is here with us today. The treasure of Jesus that God wants to freely give all people comes when His word is proclaimed, when the water is poured at the sacrament of baptism, when the body and blood of Christ is shared at the altar, when the fellowship of the Christian church gathers. That's when the treasures of God are opened up to be given away freely. But the sad truth is, this treasure is hidden from natural, sinful man cut off from God. What did Jesus say? It's a hidden treasure. It's a treasure hidden in a field. By yourself, apart from God's word, apart from the fellowship of the Christian church, apart from His means of grace, the sacraments, you can't find the treasure. How often have you heard somebody say these words? You've been trying to share your faith or invite them to worship, and they say things like this, and I quote, "This Jesus and God and church stuff doesn't make sense to me. Oh, I don't get it, and I don't need it. Or well, maybe I need it, but I just don't understand it." Listen to 1 Corinthians 2. It explains why people don't understand the treasure. But a natural man, apart from God, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them, for they are spiritually appraised. Yet this treasure is meant for all. What has John 3:16 told us? For God so loved the entire world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And did you realize that there are only two purposes that the Christian church continues to exist? There are only two reasons Trinity Lutheran congregation should continue to exist in any Christian church. And here are the two reasons. To help strengthen our hold on Jesus, who is the treasure. And secondly, to help us to reach out to others that they might better understand the treasure that's in Jesus, that we can help them to grasp onto the treasure that's only found in Jesus. Let's look at facet number two of God's treasure. God's treasure is a hidden treasure, but it's also a priceless treasure. In the scripture that we're going to read in just a moment, Jesus is called the pearl of great price or the pearl of great value. Listen to his words. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he finds one of great value and great price, he went away and sold everything he had so that he could buy it." Jesus is called the pearl of great price. This Greek phrase means Jesus is a pearl whose value is beyond our ability to measure. But Jesus' worth is measured in the work that he has performed. Listen to this text. 2 Corinthians 8. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." What does that mean? He was rich, became poor, through his poverty, you might become rich. This is what it means. This is what biblical scholars call the great exchange. Jesus Christ, who was equal with Almighty God himself, gave up the glories of heaven, gave up the riches and honor and glory due him because he is Almighty God. He gave it up. He became poor. How poor? To the point of walking our sinful earth. To the point of taking the spit, the ridicule, the abuse of sinful men. To the point of letting sinful men drive nails through his hands and his feet as he died on the cross for your sins and for mine. He became poor to the point of death. Why? So that through his poverty, you might become rich. through his poverty unto death, you might inherit the forgiveness of sins, the life of God forever in heaven. He became poor so that you could become rich. And no earthly treasure can compare with Jesus. When I was a student in seminary in St. Louis, I went to the hospital room of a man who was dying, and he turned to me and he said, "One day you are going to be lying on your hospital bed of death, and you will have your good wife looking over your hospital bed of death as you're soon to leave this world. And suddenly all those things in life you thought were so important, your savings, your house, your car, your possessions." And he used an old-fashioned word. "None of that, when you meet God, will cut the mustard. It won't make any difference. The only thing that will be important is if you have grasped onto the treasure, which is Jesus Christ, your Lord." And verse 3 of an old hymn puts it this way: "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Paul put it this way in Philippians 3: "But whatever things were gain to me, those things I have counted loss compared to knowing Christ." I have a question for you who are members of Trinity Lutheran Church. If your guests or visitors are not members, you don't have to listen. You can. If you're members of Trinity Lutheran Church, and if you claim that Jesus is your treasure, then I ask you today, how does your participation in this congregation demonstrate that? Are you praying for your pastor and your director of parish services? We need it. Are you reaching out to others and welcoming them into the fellowship of this congregation? It's your sacred duty. Are you attending Bible classes when they are offered? It's for you. Are you consistent in worship and faithful in your sacrificial financial offerings for the sake of the ministry in this place? Are you serving on boards and committees? Do you have a joyful yes when someone asks you to take upon a job in this place? If Jesus is your treasure, if Jesus is my treasure, it should show in the kind of lives that we live, especially together as a congregation. Now listen, St. Paul in this text says this: "Whatever things were gained to me, I counted as loss compared to knowing Christ." And let me offend some of you for a moment. St. Paul had everything. He was at the top of his society. He was the top of his education. He had wealth beyond all things. He was Saul of Tarsus. And St. Paul says, "All that stuff that I had, I count as loss compared to the treasure in Jesus." And the very Greek word Paul uses for loss is manure. A pile of horse or cow or whatever manure, Paul says. Everything I had that this world would consider to be a treasure is manure compared to the riches of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Let's go to the third and last facet. God's treasure is a hidden treasure. It's a priceless treasure. But best of all, it's a searching treasure. The treasure searches us out. Verse 47 of our text says, "Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was cast into the lake, and it caught all kinds of fish." The text describes the treasure of Jesus as a dragnet, fishing. How many of you have ever seen in the waters of a lake or a river or perhaps the ocean, a big dragnet thrown over the side of the boat? Not just a fishing line, but a big net. Have you seen the big nets, the fishing nets? The purpose of a dragnet is that the fisherman does not want one fish to be lost. And the Bible story is this: God has gone fishing for us, and he wants not one person to perish. It's a story of the Scripture. It shows us the very heart of God. God is out fishing for those who were lost. He wants no one to be lost forever. Three quick passages. Genesis 3, verse 9. The scene is the Garden of Eden. The scene is Adam and Eve, who have just sinned and fallen from God and are hiding from him because of shame. And listen to the text, Genesis 3, 9. Then the Lord God called out and said, "Where are you?" This passage shows us the very heart of God out fishing. They couldn't hide behind some bushes. The Almighty God who had just made all creation. Why did he say, "Where are you?" Because his heart was searching and breaking for those who had fallen from him. He's searching for us. He's searching for me. You can't hide. Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son. The younger son has just wasted all of his father's inheritance. He's coming back with his tail between his legs, defeated and beaten and ashamed. And the text says, when he was still a long ways down the road, his father hiked up his robes and ran to him. Listen to this precious passage. But when the son was still a long way off, his father saw him, ran to him, embraced him, and kissed him. Do you get the heart of God? He doesn't wait till you clean up your act and get everything together to come back to him. When he was still afar off, the father ran to him. Here's the heart of God, searching out those who are lost. There's no one beyond the mercy and forgiveness of God. If you feel this morning that you have done something for which God could never forgive you, or if you are here this morning because you're not often in church and wonder if God even wants you here, let me tell you, while you're still far off, the Father is coming running for you to embrace you, to kiss you, and welcome you home. Last passage, Luke 19:5, one of my heroes of the Bible, one of my heroes, he's called Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, vertically challenged. Christ was coming through a crowd. He couldn't see him, so Zacchaeus jumped up a tree and listened to what happened. When Jesus came to the place of the tree, he looked up to the tree and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I'm going to your house." What an honor for Jesus to tell Zacchaeus, this lying, cheating, unloved by anybody, little short Jewish tax collector. Jesus said, "You are so precious to God. We're having lunch, or maybe it's brunch. You can fix me some waffles." Oh, the very heart of God. And the reason the church exists, maybe ask yourself the question, what's the whole purpose of the Christian church? The reason the church exists is to go fishing for those not yet in the kingdom. Every Christian congregation, every Christian individual is to seek every loving, caring, and creative way to go fishing so though there is a big catch for heaven. And this catch is accounted for on Judgment Day. Jesus ends this parable by these somber words. Listen carefully. "Then they sat down and collected all the fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Judgment Day is coming. The dragnet has been put out, and one day the call will come. The reality is this. When you find yourselves in heaven, the only reason is Jesus, the treasure, sought you out. And he brought you in by his mercy and grace. And the sad truth is, if there are any in hell, it's because they refused God's treasure. No thanks. The treasure that's found in Jesus. But please note, God will stop at nothing to give his treasure to those who need it. We conclude our sermon by a wonderful story. In 1924... Dallas Theological Seminary, a seminary of the Baptist Church, was founded. In that same year, it ran into some serious financial difficulties. Within a year, it almost had to declare bankruptcy. And on one day at noon, all the creditors banded together and demanded the bills be paid, and the school was really in trouble. So the founding president and the board of directors met in the president's office, and they were on their knees praying for God to intercede to save their new little school. And one of the men whose name was Harry Ironside, who was famous for praying verses of the Bible, quoted Psalm 50, verse 10, and he prayed, and these were his words, "Lord, you own the cattle on a thousand hills. Please sell some of them and give us the money." Later that day, there came a knock to the secretary's office of the school. And this big Texan marched in with an open shirt and cowboy boots and said, "Howdy, ma'am. I just sold 2 trainloads of cattle out in Fort Worth, but my business deal fell through, and I felt like God was directing me to give the money to your school. I don't know why, but here's the check." She took the check, and her hands began to shake. She humbly knocked on the door where the prayer meeting was going on and gave it to the president. The president looked at the check. It was for the exact amount to the penny of the amount the school owed. And when he looked closer on the check, he saw the name of the cattleman, and he ran to Harry Einside and he said to Harry, "God sold the cattle. God sold the cattle." God will stop at nothing to give his treasure to those who need it. Today, we have seen and heard with our own eyes and ears that Jesus is God's priceless treasure. He is the hidden treasure we can help other people find. He is the priceless treasure with which no treasure on this earth can compare. But best of all, he's the searching treasure, seeking out sinners like you and like me, showing us the very heart of God. All honor and glory and praise to Jesus, our priceless treasure. Amen.